potential to go.
Okay, the September 23rd regular planning commission session is now in order. First point is a call to order and the roll call. So in the roll call, Mr. Updike, you awake?
Yep.
Okay, Braulio.
I'm here. Was that a grunt, John? Mr. Updike?
Say what? Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Hanselman is...
I'm here as well.
Mr. Brannigan is here. Mr. Berman?
Also here.
Okay. All present and accounted for. So the first order of business is the approval of the minutes. And we had the work session meeting minutes of August 26th, regular session meeting minutes of August 26th, and the work session meeting minutes of September 9th. So if there's...
I didn't see any glaring errors, but I didn't read it as closely as Mr. Berman might have.
I have to admit, Mr. Berman did not read it all this
time. Oh, my goodness.
In that case, I will move.
There you go.
That we approve the work session minutes of August 26th, the regular session minutes of August 26th, and the work session minutes of September 9th.
And I will second the motion.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, the minutes have been approved. Next up is citizens' public comment. We do have Mr. Arnold is with us. Public comment form is available inside the council chambers. If anyone present would like to address the Planning Commission on any matter not on the agenda, will be given the opportunity after submitting a form. Speakers then limited. I don't think we have gotten any forms, so we can kind of move on, I guess. Okay. Next up is the action items. First up is the initiate legislative amendments to implement limited land use provisions. And I need to read a couple things for the record. For the legislative hearings, this is the time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend Newport Municipal Code Comprehensive Plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or large portions of it. And what we're going to hear about is, what we're going to talk about is implement limited land use provisions of SB 1537. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria and the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony. A period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final arguments. Do we have any?
If I may, Chair, just one thing. With respect to the agenda tonight, the action item would just be initiating a legislative amendments. They would come back at a public hearing at a future date if you choose to do that. The hearing we have tonight is a continuation from a previous hearing. The Planning Commission closed that to new information. However, testimony is something you can and should be taking tonight. If somebody wants to provide testimony, they just have to limit their comments to what's in the record. On that script you were reading, it has the quasi-judicial language. This is not a quasi-judicial hearing, which means that if somebody asks for a continuance, you're not obligated to provide it.
I was reading the legislative one, but...
So a continuance, so you're not obligated to do that. I mean, you can, but you're not obligated to in a legislative context. Whereas in quasi-judicial, you would have to grant the continuance if it was requested.
Okay, got it.
So, thank you.
Okay, there are no members of the public, so we don't really need to read the Zoom.
We do have members of...
Oh, we do? Oh, okay. You're right. We do. Okay. Pardon me. So, we do have some members of the public. We have Meg Reed and Ken Doughty, as well as Planning Commission member John Updike. So, this meeting is being conducted by Zoom video conference. Before we get started, I'd like to provide staff a moment to identify individuals, which we have done. I'd like to cover a few ground rules. Individuals wishing to speak should use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking on the participants button on the bottom of a computer screen, the raised hand button on the bottom of a smartphone, or by dialing 9 on a landline. I will call out the order of testimony in cases where multiple hands are raised. Please keep your microphone muted unless you are speaking. Press star 6 to mute and unmute a landline. Participants may participate by video or phone, and we can make the shared screen feature available for those that wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials will need to be provided to staff. At this time, I'll ask commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they may have related to this agenda item.
I have no financial or other interest in the agenda item.
Anybody else?
Nope.
No. Okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Hearing none, no objections. A few announcements need to be made before we start the public hearing. The hearing will proceed in the following order. Staff report. Public testimony. Record closes for public testimony. Commission deliberation and questions. Commission recommendation. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral or in writing, must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open. If you fail to raise an issue on the record supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. There are sign-up cards at the entrance. When you're called to testify, state your name and address for the record. If you can't identify the issue to which your testimony is directed, by stating the section of the ordinance, comprehensive plan, state statute, or other legal authority to which your evidence or arguments are directed. And please avoid repetitive testimony, and you don't need, those in the audience need to refrain from demonstrations in support or opposition of any testimony. Okay, we're done with all of the rest of that. So the first action item up is to initiate legislative amendments to implement limited land use provisions of SB 1537. So this is initiating some amendments that will end up going to the city council.
Right, and we had a chance to discuss these in work session, and this is just bringing forward that package to initiate the legislative process, which would then be our cue to notice the state and then set a public hearing on this in the future. The principal issue under these legislative amendments is that with that Senate bill, the state says all jurisdictions now must use the limited land use decision-making process, and it set out what, you know, certain types of reviews, frankly, are going to have to be handled administratively. We'll no longer be able to go to the Planning Commission. There are two of them specifically that I would call out. Subdivisions, you've traditionally seen those. You won't. Now, if it's a plan development, you'll see the plan development, but not the subdivision piece that goes along with it. And nonconforming uses. So this will be the last time you see Northwest Natural. Moving forward, those will be administrative decisions. Because they drafted that as not just housing. That's any alteration of a nonconforming use has to go through a limited land use review. Which is staff level. And then we talked about the changes to notification boundaries. They reduced them. I mean, they're only 100 feet for limited land use decisions. We would typically provide 200 feet notice, but because the bill mandates that we follow the process in statute, we can't be more generous in terms of our notice. We're going to be doing 100-foot notice. But we don't have a choice because of the language of the bill. So anyway, that'll be coming forward, assuming you move forward with it, at a future public hearing. Our hope is to get these in place before the law goes into effect January 1st so that we're not trying to apply statute and code. We'd like it in our local code.
Questions?
No, I don't have any.
Time for a motion?
I think it would be time. Well, the motion is to
initiate
the legislative process up to the city council, and then we'll come back to us in via public hearing. So
we'll also move. You've laid out the issue quite succinctly.
Okay.
Well, I'll move that we initiate the legislative amendments to implement the limited land use provisions of Senate Bill 1537 as set forth in the materials Mr. Tolkanos has provided us.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, takes us to public hearings. We do have file number 1, CP-24/1-Z-24. This is a continuation. Comprehensive plan zoning amendments to implement the updated estuary management plan. Now, this has been, at the last meeting, we have closed testimony on this. However, since we do have some people, if anybody from the public would like to give a very brief.
I think we need a staff report first.
Oh, okay, staff report.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Derek Tokos, Community Development Department. As you said, we had a public hearing on August 26th, a full evidentiary hearing. At the close of that meeting, the commission said that it didn't want to take any more evidence, and so closed the record to new evidence, set a work session so you could go through the comments that had come in up to that point. We held that work session on September 9th. There were some suggestions that were made in terms of adjustments to the code, which I've made and I'll talk about here. And they're bringing it back for formal recommendation from the Planning Commission to the City Council. The City Council is the ultimate decision-making body. They will have to hold one or more public hearings before anything's adopted, and that will be another opportunity for folks to submit new evidence if they're so inclined. I'm going to just touch briefly on what was in this packet. So coming out of that work session, I had agreed to terms like to the extent practical, which the port was hoping would be included in there to try to contextualize what minimize means in terms of minimizing impacts. We agreed that we weren't going to include that language. We will go with what's in the estuary management plan or the updated estuary management plan. If it used those terms, we would use those terms. If it didn't, we didn't. So I went through there and cleaned all that up. There was some formatting issues that Commissioner Berman had pointed out, and some duplicative language in one location where I cleaned that up. So that has been taken care of. In policy 2, I added in the reference to the bibliography, which is a living document that has those natural resource inventories, as an alternative to trying to incorporate all of that verbatim into our comprehensive plan. The Yukona Bay Estuary Management Plan Coalition was hoping to see a lot of that in the comp plan, but the comprehensive plan is a more difficult document to update and change, and would get outdated and wouldn't be the most current at some point here, because we don't update comprehensive plans in that manner. There are processes we have to follow that are a little bit more cumbersome. This allows us to just say, hey, reference to that bibliography is a living document, can be updated. And I was careful to craft the language in a manner that makes it clear that, you know, that's not the only source of information. If there's other good information out there that's pertinent and relevant on the resource front, it can be introduced. And there was the exercise of shoulds and shalls, where I went through and cleaned up some spots where we to sync it up with the updated estuary management plan. Normally, we don't like to use directive language like a shall, because it becomes an approval criteria. And we don't like to have approval criteria in our comprehensive plan. We try to implement the more generalized policies in a comprehensive plan in a zoning code. That said, in this case, these special policies that have those shalls, they're cross-referenced in the code steps that we have to apply them anyway. So it's moot. It's okay.
Eric, I found at least one instance that management unit 2 didn't get changed.
Okay.
From should till shall.
Okay. And I thought I got them. I'm happy to go there. If I can get through the rest of this, and maybe we hit. Was there other things, Bob, that you had other than that?
Well, this is very embarrassing, but my laptop ran out of battery. So, yes, I had marked about a half a dozen minor things like this, although they're not minor ultimately. And I can't get to them at the moment.
Okay.
So I will send you an email tomorrow.
That's fair. I mean, minor editorial stuff, and it'll all be in what's shown to the council. People will have an opportunity to respond to it if they have any concerns about it.
Thank you. Well, sorry about that.
There was some policy 14. Meg brought it to my attention. I appreciate that. That we had I'd missed picking up a reference to, and this was new language that was in the updated estuary management plan, reference to tribal cultural resources or practices. So I picked it up in the policy. So we have it there, and it's in the code as well in the appropriate location.
Are we aware of any of those in the Newport area?
We do have some confidential tribal cultural information, but I have not looked at it in a long time, so I couldn't tell you exactly how it fits into this.
Yeah, I was just curious what it would have been.
The last one here I wanted to mention is the policy 18, That's the one that I think the Yukona Bay Estuary Management Plan Coalition, I think appropriately was concerned that it was drafted a little too broadly. So what we did is we took that policy and tightened it up. Some new uses that are permitted outright are limited to the estuary development zones. So we're not talking about conservation or natural zones. We're just talking about development zones. And we will include findings in the adoption ordinance that's presented to council to show that the uses are consistent with the objectives of the development management units and policy 14. So I'll put that in the actual implementing ordinance, which is our normal approach. We don't put them in the comp plan. We just put them in the implementing ordinance.
Do we have a map showing the estuary development zones?
It's the management units or these development zones. It's the zoning map that you have.
Okay, I see. So you're just talking about the development zones, not the natural zones, or
correct?
Gotcha. Language matters.
Yep. So we tighten that up quite a bit, trying to address that concern. We appreciate that being raised, and I want to point out. Very much appreciate all of the comments that have come in. And it was a lot of material to work through. And we've gone through a number of iterations here. I did not prepare point-by-point responses to everything that everybody brought up. But what I did do here was provide some context as to why certain things weren't included in here. I mean, there was some of the information from the Yukona Bay Estuary Management Plan Coalition, for example, with definitions. We don't put definitions into a zoning code unless they relate to an approval criteria. Many of those wouldn't have. So you don't put definitions in there if they don't relate. They're not actionable. And then they also, you know, were pulling from various different entities. Some would be a NOAA definition. Some would be a Department of State Lands definition, one EPA definition. And what we had talked about was the desire, and this came in the context of our whole full circle with the significant adverse impact discussion, where we were going to put a definition in there and ultimately chose not to put a definition in there, and that was to provide some flexibility at the local level for us to align with state and federal permitting authorities, because we're dealing with this layered permitting environment, as opposed to putting something in there that may not align with the approach that the other, say, Department of State Lands or Army Corps is taking. Let me see here. I do think, I talked about a few other things. For example, excavation for navigation is dredging. That's what we call it. So we don't want to make a distinction there. I do think that there were some things that the Yukona Bay Estuary Management Plan Coalition brought up that probably would have been better suited for the actual updated estuary management plan. And I hope and trust that those discussions were had when that plan was being developed and ultimately ended up, you know, getting to its kind of final draft form in August of 2023.
Without interrupting your chain of thought, who is this coalition? Is it one person, three people, 50 people?
No, it started, it's a group of organizations. They were listed in Annie Merrill's last round of testimony. So you have the Oregon Coast Conservation Coalition. I think Audubon was part of it. There were a handful of entities. I don't have it right in front of me, but that's what the coalition was. So it's in the testimony.
Thank you.
And I did have one thing on policy 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm re-looking at it on my phone. There's an or in there that sort of implies everything after the or applies to all development zones, and not just all estuary zones, not just development. And is that intentional?
That's intentional. And I believe that's actually lines up with the Goal 16 provisions in the estuary management plan.
Okay, so when the scale and scope is so small that impact in the aquatic areas is negligible, that can be allowed anywhere.
Yeah, but that would have to be... Well, remember, this is a policy. We would have to demonstrate it with findings to get it into the zoning code. So remember, this policy 18 provides the direction for what we did in the outright permitted uses. So okay. In the zoning code. So we couldn't just do that on an ad hoc manner. There would have to be a request to add it to the zoning code.
I'm not exactly following, but I'll trust you on this.
All right, so say somebody made an argument that, hey, you know, we're going to need to do this type of construction out there, and we don't believe it's going to have any impact, and we're going to have to do this every few years, say it's a port, and it's going to have a negligible impact. They think it fits under this policy. Well, then we could amend the zoning code and add that as an outright permitted use, whatever that activity is. But then we're going to have to show that it fits under that policy. And somebody could contest that at that point in time.
Okay.
Right now, the outright permitted uses are just those that are listed in the zoning code. If it's not one of those, then it goes through review.
Yeah.
I think that was the extent of what I wanted to cover at this point. I'm happy to answer any questions or any other
questions, Derek?
I have none.
I think you're to be applauded for all the work you've put in. You know, we've had, what is this, the fifth session we've had on this?
At least.
And your memorandum of the modification that you made was comprehensive and thorough. And you're to be congratulated for your work, Derek.
Yeah, thank you.
Been like a bad habit.
We do have a couple members of the public together with
here. Okay.
The DLCD. The testimony is closed. However, if any member...
The record is closed.
No evidence.
No evidence, but comments.
Right. If anybody would have any comment, the Planning Commission would be happy to hear from you.
All lining up.
I'm not seeing any raised hands. Mr. Updike has a finger up.
Nope.
Oh, he was scratching his chin.
Just scratching an itch. Yeah, sorry, guys.
You might want to
so, Derek, assuming this committee here moves this on out, then it's sent on off to the council for review.
Right. We schedule a public hearing before the city council, and that will be a full evidentiary hearing. If anybody wants to submit further testimony and evidence, they can do so at that time.
Okay. So, Meg, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Thank you, but no, I'm good. I just also want to echo my, I'm very grateful for all of your time and for Derek's time and hard work on this. It's really been a great process. I really appreciate that. Thank you all.
Mr. Doughty, Kent, do you have anything to add? If not?
No comments, okay. Other than you put a lot of work in, and it's been very gratifying to see how much effort you put into it. I think it's paying off.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. Arnold. Okay, thank you. Okay, at which point, we're now at a point in time where the Planning Commission will deliberate and come up with ultimately, we will come up with a motion.
I think, to kind of reiterate what I said earlier about Mr. Derek Tokios, we've listened to a lot, and there's been, you know, some competing interests. There have been competing interests we've all had an opportunity to share, and I think a lot of those competing interests have been, addressed in this document. If history follows through, there'll probably be a few more modifications at the city council member. But I think I'm in favor of this document, and I'm in favor of sending it on off to the council.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hanselman?
This has been kind of a long drawn out affair, but it's appropriate to have taken this much time to get a document that I am reasonably certain will protect the estuary.
I think it shows the interest in the community.
And it is a community, and I'm always worried about some actors thinking they have a greater role or a greater say in such a resource. So I'm glad for some of the language that will hopefully prevent some bad actors from acting bad. Shall prohibit rather than shall avoid. But anyways, I conceded that.
That's the body language of our chair here.
It's important to protect that estuary. Once you mess it up, it's really hard to get things back. Ask the buffalo.
Okay, Mr. Berman.
Yeah, I agree that this is a good representation of what I thought we should do to protect the estuary, not being a biologist or having any technical knowledge, but it seems like the structure we put in place for development or not within the estuary is appropriate, and I'm in favor of passing this along to the City Council.
You want to make the motion?
No,
I haven't got to speak yet.
Excuse me. And also Mr. Upton.
Mr. Upton.
I apologize.
Nothing earth-shattering to add other than I'll add on to the kudos to Eric. Wonderful job. And I think we did strike an excellent balance in protecting the resources, but in doing so not completely squelching any further work activities, which are also crucial to the community. So I like where we have landed here. Thanks.
Thank you. And finally, I'm all for it. I think this has been a long process. We have had, I personally like to thank members of the public who have testified, and certainly have testified for the organizations they represent. And I think their input has kind of, has really helped form a very comprehensive estuary management plan. So it's kind of, if you want to say the team effort, it's a good team effort, and certainly great kudos go to the director of the planning department, Derek, of trying to synthesize it all into something that makes some very good sense. So at which point in time could we get a motion?
Yeah. I move that we recommend the amendments to the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Zoning Ordinance, and Zoning Map to implement the 2023 Aquinnah Bay Estuary Management Plan, File 1-CP-24/1-Z-24, with a positive recommendation.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Don?
Yeah, I saw him.
Oh, okay. So it has been unanimously passed. Okay, so that brings us down to new business, unfinished business, director comments.
Yeah, nothing further for tonight.
Okay, at which point in time, at 7:35, the regular session has been ended.
My view on this document changed.
Thank you.
Listening
Thank
to
you, Mr. Arnold.
Because initially I was very pro